Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SSO podcast, Coffee with Your Counselors. We want to connect with you on topics that you feel are important. You're the most important one here. Whether it's school-related, current events, or pop culture, or topics related to wellness, each episode, you are welcome to a seat around the table. More than anything, we want you to know that you're not alone and that we care about what you're going through. So welcome back to another episode of Coffee with Your Counselors.
Welcome back to Coffee with the Counselors. I'm Miss Diedrich.
I'm Miss Amy. And we have a special guest here today. Drum roll.
Hello.
Jason Givens. He is our SSO therapist and counselor here, working part-time with us on Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Especially if you're on the third floor, you may have seen him in room 312, which is also the wellness room. Would you like to introduce yourself, Jason? I just did an intro for you.
Yeah, like she said, my name is Jason Givens. I am the school counselor here, and I am also the mental health therapist. And I am here on Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And typically, I'm located in the wellness room. If I'm not there, then usually I'm downstairs in Lisa's room next to SSO. So excited to be here. Excited to be a part of this.
We're glad you can join us. And just in general, we're kind of doing like a intro series. The last episode was Mrs. Diedrich and myself kind of just letting you all know how we got to where we are. And then today we're going to interview Jason and then at some point interview other members of the SSO just so that you can get to know our team a little better. So Jason, we have some questions for you. Just in general, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? What are some things that you like to do in and out of school? And who are you as Jason Givens?
Yeah, so some of the things that I enjoy doing outside of school, I do have a wife. She is awesome. She's a second grade teacher back in Effingham. She works at Sacred Heart over there. And I have two kids, Landon, who's 5, and Crew, who is 3. And so they're kind of my life outside of my profession. Whenever I'm not here at Uni High, I am typically at Hope Centered Wellness Group, which is in Savoy. And so I spend about 20 hours here, and then I spend about 20 hours in the office over there as well. So I'm kind of running back and forth between Uni High and Savoy. Outside of the professional side of things, like I said, my family is my world. They're kind of my focus, and they're awesome. We love to spend time together as a family. We go on Jeep rides. That's one of our favorite things that we do together. We go on family walks. And the kids just really love to kind of hang out and play in the backyard and ride their bikes and stuff like that. So we like to do those kind of things with them as well. We are big sports people. So we're constantly on campus, attending the University of Illinois games. Especially football and basketball. We have a lot of really good relationships and connections there with some players. I do a business on the side with them where we host different events and things like that, where you may see us out in the public and signing for fans and doing charity work and things of that nature. So that's definitely a passion of mine as well. And then outside of that, I am a faith person. So getting connected with the church in our community is something that we kind of have as a passion of ours. And just being a community person in general, just being able to, connect to communities that you work in, communities that you live in, and be able to kind of give back to those communities. So that's kind of me outside of work and outside of my profession, and a little bit of details of what it's like inside my profession as well.
Mm-hmm. So with the Illini sports teams, which specific sports do you work with?
So I have some exclusive players that I work with for football. basketball and baseball currently.
So I know my son thinks that Jeeps are monster trucks. So every time we see a Jeep, he's always like, "Monster truck!" So he'd really like to see your monster truck, I'm sure.
That's awesome.
So what do you do here at uni and at Hope Center Wellness? Or like, if a student came in to talk to you here, what could they expect that meeting to look like or feel like?
So that could look like a bunch of different things. I encourage kids to come in and meet with me, even if it's just to pop in and say, hey, how's it going? Just to kind of have a conversation and build a relationship with, some of the students. If a student has a need specifically, then they can email me or they can, like I said, they can even drop in. If the door's open, you can step right in and we'll be able to get you scheduled and be able to start working with you immediately. And some of the things that we work on with students, it's kind of all over the place. I have over 10 years of experience working in the school prior to being a therapist outside of the school. So I have a lot of experience working with kids and anxiety related things. Some kids have come in and they've had questions about nutrition and how it kind of impacts, their way of thinking and, brain fog and things like that. And so I meet with students connected to ADHD, anxiety, nutrition, just about anything really. There's a numerous list of different things that we can work with students on. Since I have some experience working in the high school, we also have worked with students even here on like career related things and college related things. In the event that Lisa is not available, they can also meet with me on those kind of things. I have a lot of experience with testing, so test prep for the SAT, ACT, and beyond, and scholarships and stuff like that is also some of the things that we work with students on.
And how does it look different from like here versus health or, the place in Savoy?
Hope Center Wellness.
Yes, thank you. My brain is
So,
not working today, so the brain fog maybe you could assist me with later.
the difference between working here and there's a lot of similarities because I do have a lot of kids that come in after school hours, and they meet with me on different mental health issues, and then they also meet with me on, career-based stuff and just kind of academic, anxiety. But I think the biggest difference is outside of the school is where you're going to see a lot more of the therapeutic approaches. We do a lot of EMDR, those type of approaches outside of the school, and those typically last weeks upon weeks. I mean, it could end up being, 12, 14 sessions, for you to go through that whole complete process of EMDR. Sometimes a little bit shorter, sometimes a little bit longer, depending on the client and their needs and everything. But here at the school, we don't really do a whole lot of that. Just because of the amount of time that it would take to process all of that. And so if we have any students that want to work on EMDR therapy, then we would be able to do that, schedule something where we could do that outside of school. But here in the school, we do a lot of, I've seen a lot of kids that have had anxiety, whether it's performance anxiety, because they have a big test coming up or they have to speak in front of the class or, kids that even have, some sports anxiety where, normally they're fine, academically they're fine, but whenever they get in front of a crowd, they kind of get a little bit anxious. So I see a lot of students that are kind of in that realm of things here at the school, but there are a lot of similarity. I think the biggest difference is just the age gap. Here at the school, obviously you're working with school aged, and then outside of school, I meet with a lot of couples, a lot of adults, a lot of, older male and female that come in.
And for us who are kind of in the therapy world, we do know what EMDR, but I bet you a lot of students who are listening probably don't know what that is. Can you explain EMDR? It's
It
really fascinating.
yeah. So it stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And the easiest way to describe it would be, it could be a lot of things, honestly. I think the easiest way to describe it would be the rapid eye movement, and therapeutic approaches connected to that. It's hard to, like, on a podcast, be able to, like, go into the details on it and what it means and, like, how to do it and things like that. But usually it's tied to trauma, whether it was childhood trauma or current day trauma. We see a lot of clients that come in and, you know, they're processing the death of a loved one that is present day. And so that's something that we can use therapy for, and specifically EMDR and other approaches as well. And then we also see clients that come in and, you know, it may not be something that's present day necessarily, like a traumatic event that just happened. It could be something that was childhood related, so childhood trauma. And then we're able to work with them and process through the childhood trauma that has an impact on them as an adult. So there could be a traumatic event that happened whenever they were a child that now as an adult triggers anxiety and other things like that. So that would probably be the easiest way of me kind of describing of what that looks like. And like I said, it goes through a bunch of different approaches, and we have a bunch of different phases and sessions that we would have to go through to get through kind of the entire thing.
Yeah, it seems like something that's really like a therapy that's very fascinating. And it's basically about kind of like the movement of your eyes going back and forth, or sometimes people use tapping, kind of accessing both parts of your brain. And then doing that unlocks something magical happens, and some part of your brain gets unlocked where you can access different memories and different experiences that you wouldn't be able to, or it's not as easily as ex accessible. So then once that's open, you can kind of work through some of the things through the eye movement. And then I also heard that there's some kind of correlation, or it could be with like the rapid eye movement that happens during sleep. You know, like how your eyes go back and forth. There's something, some kind of healing that happens. I could have totally made that part up, but something connected to how your eyes go back and forth. So I don't know. I always thought that, think that there's so many advancements and different like new approaches to therapy that are so helpful, and you don't really know until you just go through it and experience like what happens in a therapy session. So I encourage all our students to connect with a therapist.
Yeah, and here at the school, we don't necessarily go into in-depth EMDR, but we do work with students on EMD therapy, which is similar. It just doesn't have a target sequence plan. And so we'll do tap-ins and stuff of positive feelings and emotions. And that has a very large impact on mental health and anxiety and things like that as well. So that's definitely something that we can do here at Uni High. And if anyone, whether it's a parent or a student, wants more information on any of this, they can absolutely reach out to us.
And also, just to note, there is a reason why we don't do like intensive therapy at school, because in school it's like an academic setting, so it would be hard to do really hard therapy and then like go be expected to, you know, learn about world history or, you know, do math or something like that. So that's why a lot of times we encourage students to find therapists outside of school so you can do that work, but not kind of be conflicted at school as well. Sometimes I think there's an overlap, but for a lot of the deep stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in terms of therapy, how did you get into it? And I mean, I think everyone's career journeys are very fascinating. So, what was your career path and getting to a place where you found therapy to be fascinating and something that you wanted to do?
Yeah, so my journey kind of started in high school. I didn't really know exactly what I was going to do for a career. And so I was just kind of, making sure that I was present, not being tardy to class, just trying to be that model student. Even though I, at times I didn't get into trouble, but I was, the typical high school kid that maybe didn't take things as serious as I should have. And so I was just your everyday kid, just the kid that comes into class and I would show up on time, I would do my work, I would make good grades. But whenever you thought about like, what are you going to do for your career? What are you going to do for the rest of your life? Where are you going to go to college? I didn't really have any answers for that until my senior year. So I wasn't proactive junior year, sophomore year leading up to it. I never worked on a 4-year plan. The counselors that I had at the time, whenever I was in school, didn't really do that kind of thing. So I was just kind of your normal kid that came in and got stuff done. And then senior year, I decided, you know what? This is my last year. I definitely need to start focusing on what that career plan looks like. And so I just kind of dove into, doing different questionnaires and different surveys and stuff like that to kind of see what my strengths were, to see where those strengths are connected to different career choices. And so I started off actually in PE. So the direction that I was going is, hey, I love sports. Sports is, kind of my thing. I'm not going to be able to take these sports to a D1 school or anything like that. So what's the next best thing? Being a PE teacher or a coach. And kind of combining the two of those. And I had a really, really awesome relationship with my PE teachers who were also coaches whenever I was in school. So that was kind of a positive role model for me. And they're actually still at the school now. I think Coach Flanagan is a basketball coach there. And I believe this is last year. He's going to retire after this year. So they had a great influence on me in that category. Even though I chose PE and coach, I didn't really know that that was necessarily a passion of mine. I just knew that I was connected to sports and it was something that I wanted to do. So I pursued it. And after a couple of semesters of going into being a PE teacher and a coach, I think I found out fairly quickly that that's not the direction that I wanted to go. And so without getting into too much depth here, there were some life changes that also happened during that time frame where I experienced a couple of losses of a couple of my closest friends. So it was just right after graduation that we went into, this career plan, and we all knew what we were going to do. And then in two different scenarios, we lost two really good friends of ours. And so that also had an impact on what I wanted to do and kind of what I was going through. So from going through those experiences and everything, I was able to kind of understand the grieving process and to understand that there's supports there for you that I didn't know that were there before. And so all of that to say that I kind of changed my path and went into psychology instead. So I started out in psychology, got my bachelor's in psychology. And then I continued on, got my master's in school counseling because I felt like there was kind of a lack of school counseling in my school and in my community. So I wanted to be a school counselor in my own community and to be able to be a support person for, those kids that maybe don't have it. And so I went into school counseling and I also continued on and got my master's in educational administration. Just because I felt like, at some point I was going to want to get into administration, whether it's principal, assistant principal, athletic director, that kind of thing. And then from there, I got my license in school counseling. And then about 7 or 8 months ago, I left the school and decided that it was time to kind of branch out, start new, start fresh. And that's what brought me here. And what brought me here was just kind of a passion to be able to expand and be able to help students that isn't during the 8 to 3, there's still a need outside of school. And so I felt like I wanted to kind of explore that and see what that looked like to be able to help not only kids, but adults also, instead of limiting myself to just high school, junior high kids and not working with adults. It's allowed me to be able to kind of expand kind of my toolbox and be able to help and meet the needs of adults and kids in this profession. So that's kind of where it started and kind of where it's at. And I'm excited to see kind of where it goes from here.
Fabulous. Thanks for sharing that. And you've kind of already talked about our next question a little bit, but is there anything else that you'd like to share that you do for fun or self-care?
Like I said, I feel like sports is big for our family. Whether it's the kids that are kind of just now getting to the age where they can go out and do sports on their own. Last year I was able to coach my 5-year-old in T-ball. And so that was really cool during the summer to be able to go through the process of coaching him and kind of teaching him the basics. And then my 3-year-old is also kind of looking up to my oldest, and you can see that he looks to his oldest brother and he wants to be just like him. So even though he's only 3, like he's kind of a shadow and does all of that kind of stuff, behind the scenes and stuff. So sports are big. We do a lot of Illini stuff. That's kind of job outside of a job. Have really good relationships with a bunch of the players over here. They're great kids. They are devoted academically. They're devoted, on the field as well, and just really, really genuinely good people. And so we do put a lot of time and effort into that.
So now, I mean, you've been in high schools and then you kind of went out of high schools, but now you're back in a high school. So just being where you are now and you're observing like what students are going through these days, or even maybe in uni in particular, but how would you say that high school has changed since you were in high school? Or has
I would
it?
say the biggest changes that I've seen are electronics. Kind of aging myself here a little bit. I am 38, so I'm getting up there in
That's
age.
very young.
Yeah, it's young, but it's still like, man, 40, and then you know what I mean? It just kind of falls apart at some point. But whenever I was in high school, to be honest, I don't want to say this because of the aging process here, but cell phones were really just starting to come out. And so it was only like Motorola was like the one brand, and everyone had the same phone, and it wasn't in color, it was black and white, and the only game that you had on it was like Snake. And so there wasn't a whole lot of electronic stuff that was going on. I mean, teachers would have to get on the 4 kids in the class out of 30 that had a cell phone if they were, texting back and forth and stuff like that. But nowadays, like everyone has a phone, everyone has their cameras out, everyone's recording stuff. And so that, in my opinion, that has a greater impact on kids today, because it causes distractions, it causes anxiety, it causes the bullying numbers to go up because now you're bullying with Snapchat and TikToks and all kinds of different functions on electronics. So I feel like that's the biggest thing is everywhere you go, you're being recorded or you're being watched or you have your phone out. So that's a big change that I've noticed. And then I've also noticed a large change in mental health needs. I'm talking the school that I was at just recently, before I left it to come over here, we at one point had 2 counselors, and one of those counselors was in charge strictly of scheduling, testing, and all of that. And by the time that I left, we had 3 that were in our school, and we had 3 others that were outside that were contracted in. So we had six counselors. Whenever I was in school, it was just two, and one of them was only focused on the counseling aspect of it. So the mental health needs have definitely skyrocketed. And I'll be honest with you, even with that many counselors, we still had needs. Like we still could take on a couple more. And that was just at the high school building. And that's just in Olney, Illinois. So whenever you're talking about outside of Olney and other schools and their needs, like it's everywhere. So that's kind of a couple of the biggest things is the electronics and the usage of that and kind of the issues that come with that. And then the mental health needs kind of skyrocketing.
Why do you like working with young people or teenagers?
I feel like the biggest thing, and I think I touched on this a little bit, but I think the biggest thing for me is that whenever I was in school, I didn't have a support system. I mean, I had support systems outside of school, but I didn't have a support system within the school. And so I felt like our counselors during the time whenever I was there were more focused on, the scholarships and things like that, which is great. There's a need for that as well. But whenever it came to the mental health aspect of things, I didn't feel like there was a whole lot of support there. And I know that I personally went through some stuff whenever I was a kid that was traumatic. Different losses and grieving of loved ones and, just a bunch of different things that, were unfortunate. And I didn't really feel like in the school I had that support. And so a big reason that I kind of had a heart for working with this age group, and in the school specifically, was because I wanted to be able to give that to the next child that needs it and to make it known that, hey, we have supports here and we're going to help you and it's going to be okay. Life is tough and it's even tougher if you don't have someone that you can talk to. So that was kind of the big selling point for me was that there was a lack of it, and I wanted to kind of fill that void.
Yeah, and it's nice to see how times have changed, that school isn't just about coming and doing your academics, but there's a more holistic approach in terms of how we're approaching students and their families, and a lot more support that's available. And hopefully young people will also decide to go into schools and, look into school counseling or social work or therapy and all those things. Because the need is just growing as well. So, last question for you, but what would your advice be to students these days or teens these days? What are your words of wisdom as a 38-year-old?
Yeah, as an old man.
Yeah.
So my advice for teens is I've got a few little things that I wrote down here, but don't be afraid to be afraid. Life is hard. Ask the questions. Ask those hard questions. Ask those easy questions. Seek out help. I think that's the biggest thing is don't be afraid to lower your walls and to be vulnerable and to go and to seek help whenever you need it. Because we have some really, really cool people here at Uni High that are here to help and to be an ear to listen. And so I think that's one thing. And then also don't take this time for granted. It goes extremely quickly. I mean, it goes fast. It's like a snap of fingers and then you're 38 and you don't have hair anymore. So just remember to be a kid and enjoy these years because we only get so many of them. And so that's kind of my selling point is, and just enjoy it. Like, practice self-care. If you have a need, make sure that it's met. Make sure that you speak up. Make sure that you reach out to one of us and, set up an appointment with us, whether it's in school or outside of school. Get the help that you need, because we're here for you.
Fabulous. Well said, Jason. Thank you for spending this time with us this morning. And we hope that all of our listeners get to know you a little bit better, come by and say hi. get to know all the deets about all the Illinois peeps, and also fill their cup and take time to learn more about themselves. So, until next time, when we have another guest with us, we will see you around.
Thank you.